Thank you. All right, now we're going to...
Hawra jamba, assalamu alaikum, minglava, amnaste, shalom, greetings to you all, thank you to you all the viewers, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to Resurrect Radio, brought to you live by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. I'm your host for the day, Galwak Shol, and I will be taking you for this 1 hour show. And I just want to remember you. I just want you to remember that this is we are still in May. This is 31st today, May 30th, and we are still in May. And May is the music month for New Zealand. So what does this mean? It means we are honoring the local the musicians for their talents. You know, we try to promote the local talents. So I will be playing you the music from every corner of the world. Some of the music you might not even be aware of, but music is music. You know, it's talking to the soul. That's what I will be playing to you today. So I ask your patience, and thank you for following ARCC. You can follow AICC on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in ARCC, Aotearoa Resurrect Community Coalition, and it will pop up. So we put our most of our information there in the Facebook, and so you can go to the website and try to learn a few about ARCC. I will play you a lot of music from everywhere.
The sound of the drum that you hear is an African beat, and this is the sounds of Africa. This music comes from the Senegal area. It's the sound, it's the music of West Africa. And listen to the rhythm, listen to the singer. Are you listening? Well, it's a one called Yele, ancient African music called Yele. Senegalese music called Yele, ancient African music called Yele. Senegalese music called Yele. When you hear the Yele, you might say, listen how the yellow sound a lot like reggae. You know some connection must have been there. Baba Mars.
Bama di waro. Pula pido. Como di bayo la mingo de ki ye.
Yeah, we're
music called Yele. Ancient African music called Yele. Senegalese music called Yele. Senegal is a country in West Africa, between the Gambia and Mauritania. In the past, it was used by the slave trader. Buy and sell people like a second-hand car. From Gore Island near to Dakar. Millions of blacks sent from Africa. Well, if I them sent to America. Some of the ones they could manage them sent to Jamaica. Now listen how the music have a reggae flavor. A something Bob Marley would be proud of. And if you're looking at the facts of Senegal, says it. Senegal information. Dakar is the capital of the nation. Population around 7 million, about the size of England plus Scotland. 60 colonization by the Frenchman. 1960 independence come. 300 years of revolution. Where they born in Jamaica or England. Where they born in America or your African. Could be a Japanese or an Australian. Everybody happy rock to the yellow pattern. Original African, this is Yele. The ancient African music called Yele. Senegalese music called Yele. The ancient African music called Yele. Senegalese music called Yele.
Thanks.
Welcome back. If you have just joined us, you are listening to Resel Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. And this is a live broadcast brought to you by Gatluak Shul. I'm your host for the day, this 1 hour show. And this month is the New Zealand Music Month, so we have to honor the artists, you know, their talent and what they have dedicated to the community. And I will be playing you the music, different flavors from different countries, from Africa, from, you know, from Asia, from Europe, from Americas, and locally here in New Zealand. It's all about celebrations. Some music for the wedding, some music for celebrations, some music, you know, telling the history. The music is so sweet. It doesn't matter whether you speak the language or not. It's all about the soul. And this music is from Ethiopia by Amsal Metike. Yeah, how you feeling?
I do my hair toss, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling? Hair toss, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling? Keep it moving, yes, Lord. Trying to get some new shit in there. Swimwear, going to the pool shit. Come now, come dry your eyes. You know you a star, you can touch the sky. I know that it's hard, but you have to try. If you need advice, let me simplify. If he don't love you anymore, the big fights, long nights that you've been through. I got a bottle of I've been saving for you. Boss up and change your life. You can have it all, no sacrifice. I know we did you wrong, we can make it right. So go and let it all hang out tonight. Cause we don't love you anymore.
Zina mwa wo zina, yelelele,
Yes, welcome back. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the day. Today is May the 30th. You know, this is the second day where the New Zealand have moved level 3 to level 2. And so far, so good. And, you know, stay safe out there. Follow the rules, the regulations. And, you know, help us to beat the COVID-19. Yes, as I promised you, today is music month this month, and I will be playing most of the music from different mix, from different continents, and I have brought you some before from Africa, from Asia, and America, and I will be playing locally as well. And I want to take you back a little bit. I saw an article today. I don't know which newspaper was carrying it, but it's very heartbreaking. In some countries, still, it's a practice to marry off young girls, as young as 13, 14, 15, married to rich people. And the way the practice is working there is because the girls are the form of commodity, which should not be the case. And I don't know why it's taking long for the United Nations to curb the practice. I know the United Nations put out the rules and regulations, you know, to stop the practice, but it's still going on and nothing has been done so far. This is heartbreaking and it shouldn't be like that. So there's a South Sudanese girl by the name Mary Makel. She used to be a refugee in Kenya and went to school and now becomes a teacher. So Mary is trying to change the narrative, how the things work out there, and she's advocating for the girls to go to school, to be sent to school instead of being married off. And this is a very good initiative for her and also for the community. So let me play some speech from Mary. She used to be a refugee in Kakuma refugee camp in Kenya, and now she's giving some speeches. This is from TED Talk, so let me play it, and then we will be back with some more music.
We do not choose who our parents are, but we do choose how we are going to live our lives. I did not choose to be born in South Sudan, a country rife with conflict. I did not choose my name, Niriak, which means war. I've always rejected it and all the legacy it was born into. I choose to be called Mary. As a teacher, I've stood in front of 120 students, so this stage does not intimidate me. My students come from war-torn countries. They're so different from each other. But they have one thing in common. They fled their homes in order to stay alive. Some of them belong to parents who back home in South Sudan who are killing each other because they belong to a different tribe or they had a different belief. Others come from other African countries devastated by war. But when they're inside my class, they make friends. They walk home together. They do their homework together. There's no hatred allowed in my class. My story is like that of so many other refugees. The war came when I was still a baby. And my father, who had been absent in most of my early childhood, was doing what other men were doing, fighting for the country. He had two wives and many children. My mother was his second wife, married to him at the age of 16. This is simply because my mother came from a poor background and she had no choice. And my father, on the other hand, was rich. He had many cows. Gunshots were the order of the day. My community was constantly under attack. Communities will fight each other as they took water along the Nile. But that was not all. Planes will drop these spinning and terrifying bombs that chopped off people's limbs. But the most terrifying thing for every single parent was to see their children being abducted and turned into young soldiers. My mother dug a trench that soon became our home. But yet we did not feel protected. She had to flee in search of a safe place for us. I was 4 years, and my younger sister was 2. We joined a huge mass of people, and together we walked for many agonizing days in search of a secure place, but we could barely rest before we were attacked again. I remember my mother was pregnant. When she would take turns to carry me and my younger sister. We finally made it across the Kenyan borders, yes. But that was the longest journey that I have ever heard in my whole life. My feet were raw with blisters. To our surprise, we found other family members that had fled into the camp earlier on, where you all are today, the Kakuma camp. Now, I want you all to be very quiet just for a moment. Do you hear that? The sound of silence. No gunshots. Peace at last. That was my first memory of this camp. When you move from a war zone and come to a secure place like Kakuma, you've really gone far. I only stayed in the camp for 3 years though. My father, who had been absent in most of my early childhood, came back into my life. And he organized for me to move with my uncle to a family in Nakuru. There I found my father's first wife, my half-sisters, and my half-brothers. I got enrolled in school. And I remember my first day in school. I could sing and laugh again. And my first set of school uniform, you bet. It was amazing. But then I came to realize that my uncle did not find it fit for me to go to school simply because I was a girl. My half-brothers were his first priority. He would say, educating a girl is a waste of time. And for that reason, I missed many days of school because the fees wasn't paid. My father stepped in and organized for me to go to boarding school. I remember the faith that he put in me over the couple of years to come. He will say, education is an animal that you have to overcome. With an education, you can survive. Education should be your first husband. And with these words came in his first big investment. I felt lucky, but I was missing something. My mother. My mother had been left behind in the camp, and I had not seen her since I left it. 6 years without seeing her was really long. I was alone in school when I heard of her death. I've seen many people back in South Sudan lose their lives. I've heard from neighbors lose their sons, their husbands, their children. But I never thought that death would ever come into my life. A month earlier, my stepmother, who had been so good to me back in Nakuru, died first. Then I came to realize that after giving birth to 4 girls, my mother had finally given birth to something that could have made her be accepted into the community, a baby boy, my baby brother. But he too joined the list of the dead. The most hurting part for me was the fact that I wasn't able to attend my mother's burial. I wasn't allowed. They said her family did not have find it fit for her children, who are all girls, to attend her burial simply because we were girls. They would lament to me and say, we are sorry, Mary, for your loss. We are sorry that your parents never left behind any children. And I will wonder, what are we? Are we not children? In the mentality of my community, only the boy child counted. And for that reason, I knew this was the end of me. I was the eldest girl. I had to take care of my siblings. I had to ensure they went to school. I was 13 years old. How could I have made that happen? I came back to the camp to take care of my siblings. I've never felt so stuck. But then, one of my aunts, Auntie Akoi, decided to take my sisters. My father sent me money from Juba for me to go back to school. Boarding school was heaven, but it was also so hard. I remember during the visiting days when parents would come to school and my father would miss. But when he did come, he repeated the same faith in me. This time he would say, Mary, you cannot go astray because you are the future of your siblings. But then, in 2012, life took away the only thing that I was clinging on. My father died. My grades in school started to collapse. And when I sat for my final high school exams in 2015, I was devastated to receive a C grade. Okay, I keep telling students in my class, it's not about the A's. It's about doing your best. That was not my best. I was determined. I wanted to go back and try again. But my parents were gone. I had no one to take care of me, and I had no one to pay that fee. I felt so hopeless. But then one of my best friends, a beautiful Kenyan lady, Esther Kaecha, called me during these devastating moments. And she was like, Mary, you have a strong will, and I have a plan, and it's going to work. Okay, when you're in those devastating moments, you accept anything, right? So the plan was, she organized some travel money for us to travel to Anesta Victor Girls High School. I remember that day so well. It was raining when we entered the principal's office. We were shaking like two chickens that had been rained on. And we looked at him. He was asking, what do you want? And we looked at him with a cat face. We just want to go back to school. Well, believe it or not, he not only paid our school fees, but also our uniform and pocket money for food. When I finished my high school career, I became the head girl. And when I sat for the KCSE for a second time, I was able to receive a B- clap. Thank you. So I really want to say thank you to Anesta Victory, Mr. Gatimo, and the whole Anesta fraternity for giving me that chance. From time to time, members of my family will insist that my sister and I should get married so that somebody will take care of us. They will say, we have a man for you. I really hate the fact that people took us as property rather than children. Sometimes they will jokingly say, you're going to lose your market value the more educated you become. But the truth is, an educated woman is feared in my community. But I told them, this is not what I want. I don't want to get kids at 16 like my mother did. This is not my life. Even though my sisters and I are suffering, there's no way we are heading that direction. I refuse to repeat history. Educating a girl will create equal and stable societies. And educated refugees will be the hope of rebuilding their countries someday. Girls and women have a part to play in this just as much as men. Well, we have men in my family that encourage me to move on. My half-brothers and also my half-sisters. When I finished my high school career, I moved my sisters to Nairobi, where they live with my stepsister. They live 17 people in a house. But don't pity us. The most important thing is that they all get a decent education. The winners of today are the losers of yesterday, but who never gave up. And that is who we are, my sisters and I. And I'm so proud of that. My biggest investment in life is the education of my sisters. Education creates equal and fair chance for everyone to make it. I personally believe education is not all about the syllabus. It's about friendship. It's about discovering our talents. It's about discovering our destiny. I will, for example, not forget the joy that I had when I first had singing lessons in school, which is still a passion of mine. But I wouldn't have gotten that anywhere else. As a teacher, I see my classroom as a laboratory that not only generates skills and knowledge, but also understanding and hope. Let's take a tree. A tree may have its branches cut, but give it water and it will grow new branches. For the child of war, an education can turn their tears of loss into a passion for peace. And for that reason, I refuse to give up on a single student in my class. Education heals. The school environment gives you a focus to focus ahead. Let's take it this way. When you're busy solving mathematical equations and you are memorizing poetry, you forget the violence that you witnessed back home. And that is the power of education. It creates this place for peace. Kakuma is teeming with learners. Over 85,000 of students are enrolled in schools here, which makes up 40% of the refugee population. It includes children who lost years of education because of the war back home. And I want to ask you a question. If education is about building a generation of hope, why are there 120 students packed in my classroom? Why is it that only 6% of the primary school students making it to high school, simply because we do not have enough places for them? And why is it that only 1% of the secondary school graduates making it to university? I began by saying that I am a teacher, but once again, I have become a student. In March, I moved to Rwanda on a scholarship program called Bridge to Rwanda. It prepares scholars for universities. They are able to get a chance to compete for universities abroad. I'm now having teachers telling me what to do instead of the other way around. People are once again investing in me. So I want to ask you all to invest in young refugees. Think of the tree that we mentioned earlier. We are the generation to plant it so that the next generation can water it and the one that follows will enjoy the shade. They will reap the benefits. And the greatest benefit of them all is an education that will last. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you have noted some points from the speech of Mayor Macaire. And I was listening closely because I did not watch it before. This is my first time to listen to the speech, and it's very moving. This is one of the rarest speeches ever, and it's really moving. And as I was listening, I was connecting to her because I went through the same journey as her. And although I am a boy, I was a boy, you know, young boy. By then, it is different from how a girl should manage life in a war zone, in a war-torn country. And yes, that's refugee life. You have no hope. You get out of the country against your will. You get pushed out, and if you don't go, you know your life is on the line. That's what happened to Mayor Macaire. And what is moving me most from her speech is how she associates her name Nyerek. You know, Nyerek in the dialect, I can just figure out from her story. She's from Upper Nile in South Sudan. And is those tribes in along the Nile, you know, they name their children based on the events that happen. And so Nyerek means problems, you know, because of all the problems the parents went through the war. Maybe maybe her mom was born through the war as well. And maybe born in the war. And so the name Nyerek came, that means problem. And so she did not want that association in any way. And she changed the name to Mary Macaire. And this is how the stigma and trauma you know, played role. In anything associated with your journey, you know, it plays back. And to get away with that, so she decided to change the name. This is one of the stories that are out there with the refugee children. You don't have a choice. You don't have parents. Sometimes you have lost your parents, like Nyerek. Nyerek lost her mom first, and then the dad later, and no one, you know, should take care of her. And moving, very moving story. And I remember one of my tough time that I can relate with Nyeria was when I was in Ethiopia. And I just came to the refugee camp without parents. My parents, I left them behind because when the war happened, I just ran away myself and I did not know where they are. Because when it happened, it happened. You don't have to look for anyone. And maybe they are dead, I did not know. And I went to Ethiopia with some people. I was 13 years old. And until they joined me some 8 months later. And it was a tough journey, you know, and all the way followed by the military gunships, you know, drop some bombs along the way, and so we have to hide in the forest. And the best time to walk, you know, is during the night, using the moonlight as your guide. And it's very terrible. And when I got to Ethiopia, there was no way to go to school because it was a different environment. We were told to learn Amharic first, the Ethiopian language, and we were not even allowed to learn it because they said refugee children are not allowed to learn in the camp. It took us some time to adjust, so I had to find a tutor to teach me. I had to find a tutor to teach me in my tent. When my parents came, so we had a tent, and I used to put the sand on the floor there and water it, make a dump, and so I can write with my finger, and that was my pencil and my paper. No pens and no paper. So it's tough journey when there's no one, you know, lifting you up and giving you hope that things will be okay. It's really tough. I had reached my rock bottom many times, and I thought I should not continue because I was not able to pay my school fees. I have to just, you know, sell the little food I have, you know, to get the knowledge. I have to sell my food. It's tough myself to get the knowledge. That's how it was. That's how it was. And that's how far I have come. You know, those are some of the stories out there. Some people have gone tougher than me and tougher than Nyerek. But, you know, a story is a story, and it's very inspiring. I like the fact that she defines school, the power of education, you know, leading you to discover of your talents, and also shifting the way you think, and, you know, is giving you the connectivity, the friendships. And she's so amazing, and I wish Nyerek very well in her journey as a teacher, and she's so amazing. So back to the music. I will be playing you some of the music again, and the time now is 5:39 p.m. New Zealand local time, and we got a few minutes, maybe about 7 minutes. So let me play a music here. Maybe we will call it a day. And I hope you will be tuning in next week. And God bless. This music is from South Sudan, Duapu Dup. Still talking about sending girls to school.
Yo, you like you, then you go. Bug ja toy toy da nagar toy nangi mal baya jeng doy nyagar koy mu dang rey ku piu kulai ku din par nya naranchi moy yina be ja dar toy dan yegu jeng dial po agar ache dong chen wa ki wo ko kan wel o gai yoy ti me ti dong nyum ku mo garo ran wer gur yi ran ki ye chwet agar ni re ke ye ran ban ban wa ji na der ke go kure go ban gu mal wal bo da nya ma ding gor gu ba da ko bi ai ku ye ru le tum bi wa mi di jang to ku mo ai to go ban kwan chol jing Rumbega ye chori ya keban mu bai bai rumbega ye chori ya keban mu bai panda rumbega ye chori ya keban mu bai bai rumbega ye chori ya keban mu bai toinda ye chori ya keban mu bai bai rumbega ye chori ya po agar wonda nga ke ye ping agar marol undi ni bai jira mere karumbega panda nga benugu undi de kwe waliam to yiro guru Bela bu pagandi agar wonda nga ke ping agar marol undi ni bai jira mere karumbe wanda nga benugu undi de kwe waliam to yiro guru juru bela bu pagandi won wonda e agar ye nya kul dam kul ve ba galo ilang ni bu jam wonda je tigi ba jali yiki go rumbe ga mi arje kuloy boy agar ma dong tegi tegi jadi adega bana gun ma kondo ku ma nya na agar ya ke bira gang nyal un chola dare rapi dui o gai charo bai na li rumbe
Our show for this week.
Take care until next Saturday, same time, 10 to 5, on Planet FM 104.6.
And on the web, www.plantaudio.org.nz/resetterradio.